Hi, hello again, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in on the ABCs of Christian Growth, this program. And this recording, we're going to continue our study in the letter R, the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I hope that you've been blessed, and I know you have if you're born again one way or the other. We are blessed people. The Bible tells us that no good thing the Lord will withhold from them that love him. I was reading that this morning, and I was just thanking the Lord for all the things that that I can already thank him for, and the good things that he's given me, and all the things that he's given me, not only, but the things that he's taken away from me. You'd never think that the Lord could take something from you and it be a blessing, but the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And there's no sorrow with the things that the Lord takes away from you, and not any sorrow that like the world's sorrow. The Bible says there's two kinds of sorrow, and there's godly sorrow, and then there's the sorrow of the world. And they are completely different and opposite and contrary one to the other. And we don't want to have the sorrow of the world. We want to have godly sorrow. Because the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And when God's being kind to us, He's fashioning our hearts in such a way where we'll tell the truth and that we'll repent and we'll confess our sins to him so that we can be cleansed of it also and not have to walk around with the guilt on us. Because the Lord's yoke is easy and he wants us, the Lord's yoke is easy on us. That's what I meant to say. And it is. So we have a very kind Lord, and we thank him for allowing us to come together today to study some more about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week, I don't know why I say that. I guess everybody I study, I don't know. Anyway, I'm retarded. Just put it that down. Last recording, we studied about the promise of Christ coming. Does the Bible? Now, that's what we study, remember. We study to find out what the Bible says. If we ain't got no Bible, we don't have nothing. There's no use in us coming together to talk about anything. There's no use in us discussing anything, because without God's Word, the stinking heretics are just as valid as anything else. It's only God's Word that makes anything worth anything. And it's only the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost, dwelling in us that gives us any value at all. Because I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You see, the only thing that gives us any kind of character or gives us any kind of integrity or gives us any kind of being that's of any value is the Lord in us. And I want the Lord completely saturating me, don't you? And you're going to love, if you'll continue and you'll be faithful and you'll fight the good fight of faith and you'll be faithful in your allegiance to the Lord and you'll be devoted to the Lord, you're going to love who God the Holy Ghost is turning you into. You will. You might not particularly care for the way he's got to do it sometimes, but that goes with it. So we just grit your teeth and bear down and go with it and thank the Lord. Now, we talked about the promise of Christ coming. Does the Bible promise us that Jesus is coming again? Yes, it does. It promised us in John chapter 14, if you remember. It promised us in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. It promised us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. It gave us a promise in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, telling us that Christ shall appear. And the Bible also said that the last promise in the Scriptures that we can read with our own eyes and believe with our own minds and thoughts, because it is true. The Word of God is true from the beginning, the Bible says. Behold, I come quickly. The Lord said he was coming out of his own mouth several times. So we are to believe him. And I do, don't you? Nobody has to talk me into believing the Lord. I believe Him, because if I just went by what He has done in my life for me and the kindness that He's shown me and for the salvation and the promises that He has given me freely, it takes so long to learn. People think they have conquered that Bible. You're never going to conquer that Bible. That Bible's supernatural. And just about the time all these smart people think they've got it down and blabbity, blabbity, blab, listen to me because I'm somebody. About the time they get like that, the Lord throws a wrench in the cogs and they get them all confused. The Lord loves doing that. And I like watching Him do it too. We're not to lift ourselves up and think that we're more than we ought to think, the Bible says. I must decrease, but He must increase. And Paul said, whenever I am weak, then am I strong. Now, those are facts, folks. Those are facts. And that's doctrine. And it's true. And it's practical. And it works. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. And not necessarily just humbling ourselves because we want to be exalted. That's the Lord's choice to give us that because He likes the way that we He loves the way that we love Him genuinely. You know, you say what you want to say, but the Lord loves being loved too. Genuine love. He don't like fake love either. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, He talked to Israel several times concerning that, them going out whoring on Him and everything else and turning to other gods and everything. The Lord gets His feelings hurt about that stuff, wouldn't you? Of course you have. And, you don't want nobody saying that they love you, and you don't want people telling you that they love you, and then it not showing, and it having evidence of being fake. If you hear that behind me, that's the rain coming down. So a rainy day, but anyway, praise the Lord for giving us the water, huh? Filling up the aquifers. We need water. Okay, so let's go ahead into the next section. And the next section is going to have quite a bit of our next... The next thing that we're going to study in the return of Jesus Christ is the first coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about what the Scripture says about it and that the Lord indeed did come the first time. He was born of a virgin. He grew up, and the Bible only mentions Him, I think, twice. From His childhood, from His birth, His childhood, and then as a young teenager, right around a teenager, and then it doesn't mention Him at all through the period of His life until He's around 30, and He shows up with John the Baptist to start His ministry and to fulfill what the Father sent Him to do. And that was to go to preach to Israel, offer them the kingdom right then, and if they want it, fine, and if they didn't, fine, and then offer it, give it to the Gentiles, and then be crucified and die for sins, and die for all men. And that was the Lord's reason for coming. The Father gave Him a body, gave Himself a body, that is. That Trinity is something else. But God came and took on flesh. God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Okay, and took on that flesh and went and was crucified. He was buried and He rose again and ascended up to the Father, back to the Father, and we're waiting on Him. Now, that's at the point of this study, the return of Jesus Christ. That's where we are in this age. What we're waiting on is the return of Jesus Christ. The church age is waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. And we're right at the end of it. I know there's preachers that said that before, but Jesus said Himself, look at the signs of the times. You can look at the sky and discern and read the sky, and you can't read the signs of the times? Yes, we can. And Christians especially, because you look at things spiritually, and you see the spiritual things that's going on the earth. And activities of the unclean spirits, and you see how they're doing in the world and the darkness that's in the world. And if you're walking in the light, you can't help but see where the darkness is. You say, how do you tell if a stick is straight? Well, you put a crooked one beside it. You see? So the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the first coming of Jesus Christ to the earth is sometimes called the first advent. The first advent. And an advent is when the Lord actually comes out of the third heaven and makes an advent into time, if you will, and comes down into our realm, into the firmament and down to the earth. Now, there's only been one time that the Lord has come and actually touched the earth himself. The first coming of Jesus Christ and the return of Jesus Christ is divided into two sections. The first section that's the second. I'm going to get you confused. All right, let's just stay right here where I'm getting myself confused. Excuse me. I'm sorry. The first coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, which is sometimes called the first advent, is now a fact of history. He did come. It's recorded in places that that Jesus is recorded. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I've heard people talk about it, that there's evidence, just like with all the other humans in the world, that Jesus Christ was a human being, and he was here on the earth. And he was born, but we're talking about according to the scriptures and what saith the scriptures. The scriptures say that Jesus was born, that he came, that he was born of a virgin. And before his coming into the world, first as a baby in Bethlehem, then as the crucified Savior, he was buried and risen again, the risen again Savior. All right, all of these wonderful events were themselves Bible prophecies, and that's what I want to talk about concerning the Lord's first coming. We can go over all the things in the scriptures about the Lord's coming, his first coming, but there's not really that much to go over concerning knowledge of the first coming. It's all in the Bible, but it's in the form of prophecies. There's not much that we can say about the Lord's first coming. We can read the conversation the angel had with Mary. We can read about Mary saying, be it as unto what the Lord's will, you know, do to me what you want to, Lord, and accepting the offer. And then the Lord coming and incarnating himself into Mary's body and being born of the seed of the woman, and she carried him 9 months. They went into Egypt, come back out of Egypt, and he was born in the inn or a hotel room, if you will, in a barn, in a manger. And when he was born, this was more of a private occasion. Only people that got to see this and experience the Lord's birth were selected people that the Lord said that could testify to it and could see. But now, this next coming, his second advent, the return of Jesus Christ, is going to be public. His first coming was private. He came. There was no big deal. He was born as anybody else is born, right out of Mary's womb, and born into the world. And they held him up. He drew a breath as a human being, started breathing air just like a human being. He was human, and they named him Jesus. That's when Jesus Christ became Jesus Christ. Is when Jesus Christ is a man. He's a human being. Jesus Christ was not before, now listen to me, Listen to what I'm telling you. And don't go running off saying Brother TV has denied the faith, because I've not. I can back this up with Scripture, and so can you. Jesus Christ was not before Jesus Christ. Jesus, the man named Jesus. He was born, he began when he was born of the Father and of Mary, when he come out of Mary's womb, and they named him Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. And that's when Jesus Christ in the flesh began, the man Christ Jesus. But Jesus Christ was before. It said in the beginning was the, what? The man Jesus? No, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So you see, there's a fine line in there. Everybody says that Jesus Christ was in the beginning and this, that, and the other, but they don't know why they're saying it. You see, Jesus Christ was in the beginning because he was the Word of God in the beginning. And when he was born into that body, when he incarnated into that body and was born as a human being, he was named Jesus. Jesus Christ is a man, God in the flesh. Yes, he was. Both are true. Yes, he was before, in the beginning, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Yes, true. But as the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the Word of God in the flesh. Read it. It's there. It's true. It's exciting. It's wonderful. And it's joyful. Yes, both are true. Jesus Christ was in the beginning, but he was not Jesus Christ. He was the Word of God. And when Jesus Christ was incarnated and born in the flesh, he became Jesus Christ, the man, the Son of Man. That's what the Bible calls him mostly. It's the Son of Man. That's what he called himself, the Son of Man, you see. But he was God in the flesh. Okay? So good stuff. Good stuff. But when we're talking about the first coming of Jesus Christ, there's not that much to say about it because it was a private event. Now, what we can read, we're glad we can read. But as far as breaking it down like Revelation breaks down the second coming and the events that are going to happen in the second coming, it's nothing of the sort. It's nowhere near like the second coming of the Lord, because the second coming of the Lord is public in front of everybody. Nothing private about it, man. He's coming, and every eye shall see him. The first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we study? You say, well, Brother TV, if there's not that much to see about it and to study about it, then what are we going to study? Well, we're going to take the Lord and take the Scriptures about the Lord. And the best way to see the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the same way that the wise men and the scribes and the Pharisees, when Herod asked where this child was going to be born, what did they do? They went to the Scriptures, to the prophecies. The prophecies. So that's what we're going to look at and study and look at the Scriptures and see what the Bible says about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, him being incarnated and born from a woman. Okay? Born from a virgin. Now, there were hundreds of Old Testament prophecies related to the first coming of Jesus. Each one was fulfilled exactly to the letter. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Prophecy is very important in the Scripture, because that book is the only book that is brave enough and courage enough, has enough courage and truthful enough, that it tells you hundreds and hundreds of things before they even come to pass. And then in the New Testament gives you the evidence of them having come to pass. No other book is brave enough to do that. Muhammad's book ain't, because nothing he said come to pass, except for what he said about what he quoted in the Old Testament. Nothing he said come to pass. You know why? because he didn't have no power behind it like the Word of God does. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it has God's power on it, and in it, and through it. It liveth and abideth forever. Now, we look at the prophecies, and that you say, well, are these the only prophecies, Brother TV, that and all of them have come to pass? No, 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 no. As a matter of fact, the majority of prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ are yet to be fulfilled. And that's His second coming, what we're talking about, the return of Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of prophecies. And I'm not a prophecy expert. I'm just learning about this and how important prophecies are to us. Okay, moving right. I'm not an expert. You know, there's even more prophecies relating to His second coming, and they will also be fulfilled literally. Literally. This is not a fairy tale that we're living. God is real. Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ came in history 2,000 years ago or so, and 2020, whatever the true count is. We go by our calendar, but that's not the Jewish calendar and all that stuff. You know, I don't know all that, but and I don't know what good it would do to know it, because nobody, the Bible says, I don't know why people search for when the Lord's coming, because He said no man knows. Not even the Lord Himself knows. The Bible says that. So why would you waste so much time? I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it just to do it, to encourage yourself and have a little joy. But to try to make a doctrine out of it, how do you make a doctrine out of something that the Lord said you're not going to know? I'm not telling you. Shut up about it. You know? So now what we're going to do is for the rest of this recording is we're going to find out, we're going to look at about, I don't know, maybe 10, 12, something like that, scriptures in the Old Testament that were prophecies concerning the Lord's first coming, being incarnated into the flesh and coming into the world. God coming into the world as a human being. We're going to look at the Old Testament prophecies that prophesied this thing. And then we're going to look at the New Testaments that go along beside each one of those prophecies and for the fulfillment of it. And we're going to see in the Old Testament where it was prophesied and in the New Testament where it was fulfilled. Okay? So that's how we're going to go about this study about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then next recording, we're going to get into the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it is described in the scriptures as two stages. There's actually two stages of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one stage that begins His second coming, and then there's a second stage that ends His second coming. Okay? So we're going to get into that next recording. But this time, we're going to read these scriptures. So let's share some scripture with each other and look into the Lord's Word and see this matter. All right. The first Old Testament prophecy is found in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And I'll try to be sure to give these to you, but we're going to read all of them. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Of course, Emmanuel meaning the Lord with us. The Lord with us. Okay, well, where was that fulfilled? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Fulfilled. Matthew said it. Isaiah is the one that prophesied it. Matthew said it's been fulfilled. Okay, another one found in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The Bible says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, of course, we know that this is Genesis chapter 49. This is a prophecy of the second coming and the Lord setting up his kingdom in the second coming. Okay, where's the fulfillment of that? In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses, back in Genesis, which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." He just, in Hebrews, the writer in Hebrews, just told us that scripture where it said the scepter shall not depart from Judah, it said the Lord sprang out of Judah. See, we see the beginning of the prophecy before it happened in Genesis, Moses, and we see the past tense of it, that it had already happened, or the writer in Hebrew giving it to us, saying it did, it happened, the Lord came out of Judah. You see, good stuff. Talking about the first coming of the Lord, the first advent, the Lord coming from the third heaven and where he dwells, and coming down in here to where we dwell to be with us. Here's another one. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, this is an Old Testament prophecy. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah." Now, the reason it says Ephratah is because there were several towns that were named Bethlehem. And this particular town was the one that's affiliated with the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming. But there were several towns named Bethlehem. So this is just to narrow it down. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah," all the cities in Judah, "though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth shall have been from of old, from everlasting." Now, remember we talked about Jesus and him having been from everlasting to everlasting? That's the Father talking about. This is a prophecy Micah prophesied about the coming of the Lord and where he was going to come out of, Bethlehem Ephratah. Okay? All right. Now, what's the fulfillment of that? Luke chapter 2, verse 11 and 15. Listen to this. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Now, what was the city of David? Bethlehem Ephratah. "Which is Christ the Lord. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." How about that? We see Micah saying where the Lord was going to be born before it happened. Prophecy. And then Luke describing to us how the angels spoke to the shepherds and told them the city of David in Bethlehem. And they headed out. Good stuff. The Lord's first advent. Prophecies of the Lord's first advent and fulfillments of the Lord's advent. It's in your Bible. Your Bible says that the Lord was born and that it was prophesied that he would be, and it was fulfilled to the T. And the New Testament testifies of it. Another one, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Before thy king, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Remember the Lord's coming into Jerusalem and as king, and the people putting putting their clothes in front of him and honoring him coming in, and him riding into Jerusalem as king to all the Jews and offering them the kingdom, and which they turned down and crucified him and murdered him. But anyway, he offered it to them. Well, the fulfillment of that, this said that that was going to happen. Zechariah did. Now in Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. This is in Matthew. This is Matthew writing about this, writing about the prophecy in Zechariah that it had been fulfilled and that he actually knows the Lord Jesus Christ and watched him come in on the foal of an ass, and he's seen it come to pass. That must have been amazing for them guys, for the apostles, to know the scripture, to see the Lord with their own eyes and to touch him and to be around him and listen to him talk and speak. To know him that the Old Testament prophecies were talking about, and then to watch these things come to pass and then write them down as history. Isn't that neat? That's not all. We find one in Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. Here's a prophecy. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about, I think, Judas Iscariot, right? I think that's what it was. And then about his first advent and what was going to take place. And then in John chapter 13, verse 18, here's the fulfillment of it. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And of course, we know the Lord's speaking there, and that's probably at the Lord's Supper just before he went to Gethsemane to be arrested. And the Passover, he was having the meal with the apostles and telling them what was going on. And he spoke that prophecy right there, and it actually came to pass right there, because Judas Iscariot got up and the Lord told him, that which thou doest, do quickly. And he walked away from him, and his heels lifted up as he walked away from him. Hath lifted up his heel against me. When he left, he was going to betray him, and he was lifting his heels up as he walked away from the Lord for the purpose of doing that. Fulfilled. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. Old Testament prophecy. The Bible says, and I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I have prized at prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now that's prophecy, Zechariah prophesying about how much the betrayal money that Judas made a deal about, 30 pieces of silver, with the rulers, the scribes and the Pharisees, and their secret little meeting there. And then it also prophesied about how much they paid, and that the money was going to be cast. He cast them to the potter. Now, who was the potter? The potter was the scribes and Pharisees that picked the money up after Judas threw it at them in the Lord's house. He threw it at them and gave it back to, threw it at them and told them that he betrayed innocent blood. And they told him, so what? That don't mean nothing to us. You know, you deal with that. You know, we didn't tell you to betray him. But there's some nice guys, huh? But they picked the money up. And then all of a sudden they get all religious and everything, and they say, well, we're not, considering the law, we're not allowed to keep this money. So we've got to do something with it. So they went and bought a piece of land and called it the Potter's Field, where they bury strangers and things like that that die. So It's called the Potter's Field. The prophecy in Zechariah there that all this was going to come about. Well, Matthew chapter 26, verse 15 was the fulfillment of it. He said, "And said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." This is Judas talking to him. This is the actual deal right here where Matthew's saying this is what happened when Judas went to betray our Lord. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And then later on, we see also that Judas went back and he had worldly sorrow about what he had done and that he had betrayed the innocent blood. Look at your Bible and what it says, the innocent blood, not just innocent blood, the innocent blood. No human being's blood is innocent. Only Jesus's blood was innocent. Okay? All right, but anyway, the prophecy. Here's another one. Let's see what we got. Psalm chapter 22, verse 16. The Bible says, "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." That's Psalm 22:16, talking about the Lord's crucifixion and all the ones that were surrounding him and encompassing him as he was on the cross. That they enclosed him and they pierced his hands and his feet. Well, John chapter 19, verse 36 and 37 speaks of the fulfillment of it. And so, "For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken." And again, another scripture saith, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." First coming of the Lord. The prophecies that were spoken about him, about his birth, his life, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And all the things that were prophesied concerning these things and his ascension, all included in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's another one. Psalm chapter 69, verse 21. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." That's back in Psalms. Well, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 34, Matthew says, "They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." There's the fulfillment. Your Bible is alive. And that's not only just a book. And it's not only prophecy. That's a history book. That book tells some things no other book says and no other book talks about. That book is alive because it is God's words. It's God's word. Jesus said that he was the word. He was the living word. And he left us with the written word that God the Holy Ghost is the one that teaches us, and God the Holy Ghost's power is behind that word. All right, that's not all. Here's another one. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, the prophecy. "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found." Deceit in his mouth. Isaiah spoke that in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. Where was it fulfilled? Well, Matthew talked about it in Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 through 60. Listen to this. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. So the Bible says that that in Isaiah, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death? Well, the Bible says that he was crucified with thieves, and he made his grave with the wicked, okay, and with the rich in his death, the Bible says. This was a man named Joseph that was a rich man, but he was a private worshiper of the Lord because of the people that he was around. I think it said that he was that he would have got kicked out of the sanctuary. He would have got kicked out if they had found out that he was following Jesus. But either way, he went and got the body of Jesus out of respect and honor for him, and he was a rich man, and he paid for all the things for the Lord's burial, and went and took the body and respected the Lord's body and took it and done what needed to be done with it. But fulfilled. The Old Testament said it was going to happen. The New Testament says it did happen. You need to love that Bible. That is the closest thing other than God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. That's the closest. How well I want to put this. That's what the Lord has left for us to know everything and to trust in. You say, you trust in that Bible? You better believe I do. What would you have if you didn't have it? You would have no knowledge of God. The Lord chose to tell us about Him and to let us put our trust in Him through written words. That Bible is not foreign to written words that God had written down. All the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all of them. The Lord told them to write in a book. And it shouldn't be foreign to us. And anybody that tells you that Bible's not important is a liar. Get away from them. Get away from them. The Bible says, and it liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God's going to be around forever. And there ain't going to be none of them nose up in the air people that are walking around with their snoots in the air about like they know God's Word better than God knows it. And there's not going to be any of those that stand before the throne all haughty and everything, because the living Word of God Himself is going to be sitting there questioning them and what they thought about His written Word. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not all. Just a few more. Psalm chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. Here's a prophecy. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Of course, the psalmist is writing there, and it's a prophecy that he wrote. He wrote it down, not even knowing what he was writing down there. He was writing that the Holy Ghost was having him write these words, but these words were prophecy about somebody else, the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talking about sitting at the right hand of the Father. And also talking about that the Lord was not going to suffer the Holy One to see corruption. That the Lord Jesus Christ's body was not. Now, he hadn't even been born yet. Hadn't even come into humanity yet. This was a prophecy about after his burial, that the Lord was not going to leave his soul in hell, because the Lord's soul separated from his body. And his body, Joseph came and got and took to the tomb, but the Lord's soul went to hell to preach to the people in hell. And the Lord said that the prophecy said, that thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That his body was not going to corrupt like ours did. Or like ours will. Ours did. Mine's corrupting day by day. And yours? But Jesus' didn't. And that was fulfilled. You say, where? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 27. The writer says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He quoted it. And he was amongst the one that it was talking about. Neat stuff, huh? It's God's Word. And let's talk about one more. Psalm chapter 22 again, verse 18. The Bible says, They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Two things that happened when the Lord was crucified concerning his clothing. When they took him and they started nailing him to that cross, they stripped him of all his clothes. You see pictures, and just for the sake of decency and everything else, but that's not accurate. The Lord was crucified naked. That's the way they did it. And it talks about despising the shame, the Lord said. He was shamed and he was despised. He was humiliated. How would you think about being hung up on a tree naked in front of hundreds, maybe even thousands of people? And your body tore all to pieces from being beaten to death as a criminal. The prophecy in Psalm chapter 22 says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now, the psalmist didn't know, he probably didn't have any idea what he was talking about as far as prophecy and who the Holy Ghost told him what to write. And he wrote it. And a lot of the writing that people wrote down for the Lord, they wrote out of faithfulness, not out of understanding. They wrote exactly what the Lord told them to write, whether they knew what it meant or not. A lot of the New Testament was written, like John said. He said that he beheld him and whom we have handled, have touched with our own hands. We seen him. We was with him. We talked to him. We handled him. Here's Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, talking about that prophecy and song and the fulfillment. It says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. What prophet? The one that wrote Psalm 22:18. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Fulfilled. So talking about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our study is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are looking at, last recording, we talked about the promise of Christ's coming and what the Bible says. Does the Bible teach us that the Lord is coming again? Yes, it does. Okay, this recording, we're talking about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does the Bible tell us anywhere that the Lord Jesus Christ, whether by prophecy or fulfillment, does it give us the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ having come already a first time? Yes, it does. It not only tells us, and that's just a touch of them, concerning said he'd be born in a state, he'd be born in a barn, born in a manger. It said that they would be, that he'd be born of a virgin. It said that the town he would be born in. I mean, what do you know that a person that's not even born can give anywhere from 20 to, I don't remember how many. I was reading one of the people I study after, and they said how many times it was. I don't remember what it was, 30, 40, 50, something like that. 50 prophecies of how a man is going to die before he's born. I mean, tell me how you're going to die. Now, not only tell me that, but tell me where it's going to be. And tell me how it's going to be. What's going to happen to you? What day is it going to be on? You see? Oh, I mean, just prophecy after prophecy after prophecy the Bible gives us. And then it didn't just leave us there. In the New Testament, the Lord had them write the fulfillments of them things down. And even told you, this is the fulfillment of it. Talking about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, you don't have any reason to doubt about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's people that walk around now and they proudly and snooty and talking about that Jesus wasn't born and that the virgin birth, and they even corrupt it and talk about all kind of goofy stuff, foolish stuff that's not scriptural at all. But your Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, there were people, all kinds of people in the Old Testament that prophesied because God the Holy Ghost told them to prophesy and write it down. And Moses even wrote some of them things down. And the scriptures wrote them down. And then the Lord Jesus Christ had them all write them down and fulfill it. And show us that these things are true. And you can believe it. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the believe on the name of the Son of God." They were written down by the Lord's orders for us. You can put your trust in them. You can have as your final authority the Word of God and trust in it with everything. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And how do we trust in the Lord? By knowing what His Word is and knowing what His Word says. So we know what to trust in and who to trust in and how to trust in Him. Yeah. So the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. We've discussed the promise of Christ's coming, and today we talked about the first coming of Jesus Christ. Yes, your Bible does tell you that it was prophesied, and it gives you all kinds of fulfillment that Jesus was born, He came, that God Himself came to into the earth, into our time, and was born of a virgin, incarnated into the flesh, was born as a man, was given the name Jesus, grew up, was crucified, died, was buried, rose again, and ascended back to the Father, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next recording, we're going to talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it is in two stages. It happens in two different stages, and we'll talk about that next time. Let me give you these scriptures again. You ready? Here they are. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Now, the way that I have these scriptures written down, if you go over them again, you can read one, and the one that follows it is the fulfillment. You'll have prophecy, fulfillment, prophecy, fulfillment, prophecy, fulfillment, like that. Okay? Hebrews 7:14, I said. Okay, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 and 15. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. John chapter 13, verse 18. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. Matthew chapter 26, verse 15. Matthew chapter 27, verse 9 and 10. Psalm chapter 22, verse 16. John chapter 19, verse 36. Oh, 36 and 37, I'm sorry. Okay, and John chapter 20, verse 20 and 25. Psalm chapter 69, verse 21. Matthew chapter 27, verse 34. Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 through 60. Psalm chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. Acts chapter 2, verse 27. Psalms chapter 22, verse 18. And the last one is Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. We've talked about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and about the prophecies that were given, some of them, not nearly all of them at all, not even in the realm of it, but some of the prophecies and the New Testament fulfillment of it. So we'll go into our next study and the next program and talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in two stages. Isn't our Bible wonderful? The Lord is so smart. He knew exactly what to give us. All we got to do is read it and believe it. And that's what we're going to do, right? God bless you for studying the Lord's Word. May He bless you and honor you for that. And He will. This is Brother Thurman. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.